This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We'd like to acknowledge the Kaurna people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded and produced. Welcome to The Beautiful Nightmare. It's the podcast for when you're flying by the seat of your pants, hosted by Chanel and Tamara.
That's right. We're diving into our archive. I was going to say recipes.
Wow, from two people that aren't the best cooks. I mean, I might be slightly better than you, but we're both in the shit bucket.
We're diving into our archive recipes because
we've got beer.
Yeah, like Chanel said, we're the best people to give you cooking advice.
Not.
Oh, my God. Where's my head at? Episodes, I was going to say. And this is from a fair while ago, maybe a couple of years even, Chanel, was it?
Possibly. Yeah. It was one of our earlier ones, but it's a corker.
It is. So we thought we'd replay it for you. Okay, that's weird. And all about weird. Well, as I say, weird, different, I should say, to be a bit more PC.
Left of centre.
That's it. Ways of giving birth and what people do with the placenta.
Oh, look, some of this stuff is fucking funny.
Isn't it?
Just putting it out there. But there's one thing that I listened back to the episode and there is one bit that has stayed with me the whole time, and it is about the dolphin story.
Yeah.
But it's the male in the background, bobbing up and down with an oversized life vest on while his partner gives birth amongst dolphins. But it's this useless dude in the corner. Or partner, could be anyone. The other the person not giving birth, bobbing up and down with a life vest on. Being just useless as sin. And I think if I'm having a bad day and I picture that, I feel a bit better.
Oh, you do. You know, you're not in the waters of Hawaii.
But and just bobbing this around. Vision of someone bobbing up and down going, breathe or something. It's just
in this red water.
Yeah.
Wow. Yuck. I was impressed with my dolphin impersonations.
Yes.
I actually was like, Tamara, pretty good.
I'm going to take you out on my paddleboard next time, sit you on the front and make you call them in.
Oh, my God. You've seen
you
dolphins.
Can speak to them. I have.
You, out there.
Yeah. Mm. But I would like, maybe we can spend a bit more time with them if you do a call.
Okay, call it out. Yeah, I'll do that. All right, let's get into this episode.
There she goes. Flippers and all.
Hit it. That's what I'm talking about.
Wait.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
The beautiful nightmare.
How you feeling, little lady pants?
I'm good.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, it's busy time of year leading up to Christmas, and I know you're busy.
I'm freaking out because everyone's telling me I need to go to the shops to buy things because there'll be nothing on the shelves when there is Christmas.
But it's true.
I know.
Because, you know, we're being cut
I'm
off.
I'm not appreciating the fire that's being lit under my ass for this.
I have a good excuse. I was thinking when they don't have much under the tree, I can just be like, well, it's COVID, you know. This is what's happening. We can't get things, you know. Yeah. Santa couldn't get here because he wasn't vaccinated.
He's an anti.
Santa's an anti-vaxxer.
Maybe. Who knows? He's a man of the world. Anyway, or maybe he doesn't need it. I hope no kids are listening to this in the car.
Santa, are you wearing a mask?
Yeah. Yes. Will he wear the mask?
Actually, I'm wondering if he has to change his gloves at every house.
Goes around with rubber gloves.
Leaves them on the side for you to dispose of.
Oh, Santa 2021. And you can't put out any food for him.
All right.
Yeah, like the biscuits and the milk.
Because he won't want your manky food.
No, who's been touching that?
Yeah.
Everyone with their dirty dog fingers. Yeah. Anyway.
Just to digress slightly, I seen something on Facebook this morning that made me laugh. I found another animal with a fantastic name.
Go on. What was it?
And I just love this. It was a corgi called Neil.
Neil. Who would have thought? Oh, Neil, I'd forgotten about that name. How good's Neil?
Neil. And apparently her and, little, you know, he's quite chubby. Bless him.
Oh, that's quite
fat
cute.
Fat corgi, love it. And apparently the son named it after Neil Armstrong.
Oh, wow. Wow, you can really name a pet. I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with that wow, you can really dance thing off wherever it is, Instagram or the interweb, wherever you like to find your dances on the web. And, anyway, so everything's wow.
Everything's wow.
But I would say that's really smart of the kid. Like I'm kind of jealous. Like why my kids wouldn't do that. They're like called the cat Cuddles. The dog probably would be like Poofball or something.
Poofball.
I don't know. They're not very creative with the, hey, I'm inspired by a great man or woman.
So this kid comes in and says, I'm going to name our corgi Neil after Neil Armstrong. That's how he talks. Yes.
He must. Is it Prince Charles? Oh, probably is with a corgi. That's probably what he said. Oh, mummy,
we must name our puppy Neil.
Neil, mummy. We must keep up with the future and with people in the tech space. Mummy, it is Neil. Or Buzz. Why couldn't I go with Buzz? That would have been heaps better. Buzz Aldrin. He was the other one.
Buzz is a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
Anyway. This episode is...
Okay, that's weird.
Okay, that's weird. Okay, that's weird. Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, it is, and so was that.
Gross. I do things like that to Kai all the time in bed. Like we'll be lying there and then he'll have his eyes closed and I come right up to his face and then I do like a crazy face, like just pull all these faces and he can sense that I'm there. And when he opens his eyes, I quickly pretend I'm asleep so he can't see it. And then he'll catch me and then we'll end up just laughing. It's pretty funny. Try it at home.
You know what? Being married to you would be an absolute dream.
I think he finds it somewhat painful. Like when he really wants to sleep, he's like, can your face get out of my face right now?
You're sniffling and got a cold and you're all in his face doing.
Where was I going with that?
Basically, weird things. When you hear things and someone tells you or you read it on something, you go, okay, that's weird. We've made a list of things. Through our research.
We have.
And I'm going to share them with you.
And they're all relating to weird ways people have given birth or, you know, places that they've given birth.
Or things they've done.
Yeah, things they've done.
Traditions, cultures, you name it.
Yeah, that you might not know about or you might know.
And weird shit out there.
That's right. And we investigated big time. So we have some great stories. Let's just eat the placenta for a minute, lady. Go with me on this. Just quickly. That's a weird one, isn't it, in itself?
Well, it is. Some women put it in the freezer.
Well, I think they think it's because it's got some nutritional value. It's meant to help with postnatal depression is the go, but apparently science says that there's no evidence.
Well, they say there is no evidence at all that it provides any health benefits. In fact, it can be harmful to you and your baby.
Because of the bacteria, right? Because it's like a dead piece of flesh.
Yeah, so they're trying to – yeah, so it's actually, again, as you said, preventing postpartum depression, reduce bleeding, improve mood, energy, milk supply, and then there's a big part in bold that says, actually, it does none of that. Don't have it. It's bad.
Yeah, from what we've read.
From what we've read.
So we're no experts.
Yeah, but disclaimer here, we're just commenting, okay?
A comment. Yeah, it's just commentary on the things out there. I mean, I can see why people would probably want to do it, you know. Maybe animals do it. I don't know if
maybe
they do.
Maybe the cave women did it.
Yeah.
Maybe they sat there and gnawed on it.
Oh. Oh, you'd love it. You love a bit of pasta. It's like a bit of fettuccine, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you cook it up.
Yeah.
It's like some bacon.
Can I ask, is it the actual – I never thought of it. I've always thought of it as the cord. Are they talking about the whole placenta as well? The actual
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's big. You've got a few portions out of that.
Oh, Kai saw mine. He was like,
I saw mine. Did I went, see it? Yeah, well, I kind of asked too. I said, oh, what have you got there?
It's my lunch.
And the doctor very clinically held it up like two bat wings kind of thing. And he just went, oh, well, here's your placenta. It's quite nice. It's in good tact and it's got good colour and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm going, put it down. I don't want to see it anymore. Yuck. Yeah. You've done your job. Now you go in the bin.
But that's the last thing that you want to see when you've just had a baby. It's like, why are you showing me my internal organs?
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
But you had a good one about what some women do when they have given birth.
So I read something recently about new mums licking their babies after birth. Cats do it. Horses do it. In fact, most mammals lick their babies straight after birth, but humans don't. Well,
because cats don't have opposable thumbs that they can turn on a tap and bathe the baby. Like, I'm sure cats would be dreaming of it. Like, oh, my God, why do I have to lick this thing? It's because they can't, like, run a bath,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, well, you know, imagine your baby's got a lot of hair on its head. You're like, ah, furball or something. But the reason one of the reasons is to remove the scent of birth to ward off predators.
Yes. But we're not living in caves.
No, we're not.
Anymore.
For someone going to come and eat your child.
But I guess it's a good bonding experience. Maybe the women find it's like a bonding thing as well.
Or to maybe consume the nutrients that's part of the – I'm sorry.
What does it taste that like, makes you reckon? It looks like feta for Vernix, doesn't it? A bit of feta. It's like a smeared in feta. Well, maybe if you could think about it like that, it might be tastier.
Oh, my gosh. So by licking the newborn – smear some olive oil and just have a side of cucumber.
I'm wrapping in a lettuce and, you know, Bob's your uncle.
And your Sanchoy Bao. Yum.
Sick. Oh.
Quick disclaimer here, we're not eating the children.
No, we don't want to eat the babies.
Licking them clean.
That's not
so
us.
I think by licking a newborn's face, the mothers make sure that the baby's nostrils are clean. Again, just wipe it with a flannel.
Yeah, get the old towel out.
They say it's bonding with the baby.
Yep.
Look, I just prefer to do skin to skin, don't you?
Yeah. I like that they clean it up. I mean, everyone's different. They might like that feta-infused baby.
So not all women do this, but in specific, the Tibetans and the Inuits.
Yes. Yes.
So where are they from tomorrow?
Canada.
Mm, very good.
That's right. Oh, tick, tick.
One thing that does make me laugh about this is because, you know, some babies aren't born with a lot of feta cheese on them and some are.
Yeah.
However, one of my friends, Belinda, when she gave birth to her daughter, pooped at the same time as you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And her daughter was covered in shit.
Yeah. Lick, lick, lick.
And they handed her daughter, and there's your baby. She's like, she stinks.
Oh, get her off me. They could have at least cleaned that up. Jesus.
I think they did, but she was just, she could smell poo. She goes, I've got my daughter. I was really traumatized. I'm meant to have this amazing experience.
No one does. No.
She's got poo all over her.
Nice. Yeah. That's like it's totally a different thing. But I think sometimes you think when you're going to go into these experiences that you're going to feel all the feels and all the warmth.
Because that's what we're told by social media.
I was talking with a friend yesterday at lunch, actually, that at my wedding, I was getting married and it was so surreal. I had no feeling. I was quite numb. Like, I wasn't feeling like, oh, wow, this is amazing. I'm marrying the man of my dreams. I wasn't thinking this is wrong or anything.
No.
Like, but I just wasn't feeling as elated as I thought I would. I was just kind of looking at the flower arrangement going, oh, that's a bit wonky. You know, like, you know.
Same
I don't know. It was
thing,
very strange.
And I was to birth, right?
Disappointed in myself. Yes. Yeah. But I think it's okay. It's quite common.
Yeah, or you go, I didn't cry. Oh, was I meant to cry? I meant to have this, you know, moment of, oh,
yeah.
And it's not like that. It wasn't like that when I had Ollie because he wasn't breathing when he came out. So it was very like, you know.
Shocking, yeah.
Yeah. There was no time to lick him or Summer. Not that I would because
yeah, take him away for
I haven't licked him yet.
I haven't licked him. Let me lick him. Are you crazy?
Let me lick it. It's a bit like Ron Burgundy. Let me lick you. Let me lick.
What was that?
In Anchorman.
Yeah.
He wants to lick the dog. He loves the dog so much. He's like, let me lick your face, kind of thing.
Oh, it's disgusting.
The dog's got a retainer on, is absolutely disgusted by him. But anyway.
Going on from the placenta, you'll love this. Have you heard of the lotus birth?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So this is a new trend that's happening. Lotus birth is when you carry around the placenta after birth, so it's still attached to your baby, because I guess a lot of people believe that it should be natural. It shouldn't be chopped off. It should just naturally fall off, you know, like it probably does with other mammals. Anyway, one woman in England called her placenta Alice, so she named it. She named it, kept it in a pillowcase for, I think, 5 days and this is my favourite thing. And I also think I'm going to get some cooking tips from her, because she's preserved it with Himalayan salt, thyme and lavender, but homegrown, of course, organic. And then had a gratitude ceremony for it after it when it died and fell off. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Delicious, P.S. She's preserved it with what? With Himalayan sea salt.
It can't be from anywhere else but the Himalayas.
Why
okay.
Why is thyme?
Best of the best.
What's with thyme in there?
Well, it's lovely herb.
Well, it's not a chicken, for crying out loud. Like if you're going to preserve it, use some other things.
Oh, okay. Rosemary. Fair enough.
Rosemary. Exactly. Lavender homegrown. For crying out loud. Does she dig the salt from the Himalayas herself?
She went there.
Oh.
In the hope of detaching Alice.
Yes. Alice.
What would you call your placenta?
Yeah, what would I call it? Oh, could you give it a boy's name?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Graham? Come on, Graham. Except I'd be very lazy with mine. There'd be no Himalayan salt. I'd forget. I'd be like, oh, shit. Oh, I forgot to pack it with a bit of lemon.
Supermarket grape salt.
And table salt, bit of pepper, oops. You know, I quite like chili.
Not the stuff chili. that's freshly ground, like that powder stuff that's in there. Oh,
God knows. What about you?
Well, I'm laughing because Graham's my father-in-law's name, so I wouldn't be able to use that.
You know, you couldn't. I could. Thanks, Graham. It's a great placenta name.
I quite like Rhonda.
No! Carrying her around with you? Bloody hell. She'd be a pain in the backside, literally. What's in your backpack? Oh, my giant placenta called Rhonda.
Oh, because yours is much better called Graham.
Graham would be this. Mine was quite small and shrivelly, I reckon, with Wolfie. So, yeah, it'd be small and shrivelly with a little mustache. Does Graham have a mustache? No.
He has before.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. See, I knew. Graham and Rhonda, the placenta, they could date. Okay, what do you reckon about in Hawaii, you can go swimming with dolphins and give birth in the ocean with the dolphins? That's really
amazing.
Relaxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you why people do that though?
Why?
Because they think if their babies are born, they're going to be able to communicate with dolphins. So because they come out and the dolphin will be
Tamara
swimming
speaks fluid
around.
Dolphin.
I do. Well, because I was born with dolphins, clearly. Mm-hmm. No. But, yeah.
I'd be too worried about the bloody sharks coming with the blood in the water.
True, actually. Never thought of
that. I'd be like, oh, great white shark. There's Bruce from Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Fish are friends, but a baby in a placenta, yummy.
A placenta called George, and there you go. Yeah, but that's crazy, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, I like the idea of the swimming with the dolphins. It sounds very relaxing.
Usually when you learn something, though, you need to learn it a few times. They don't just pop out into the water and then they're fluent in dolphin.
No.
Maybe the dolphins don't want to be part of your experience.
I did think about that too. Like, imagine you go with the dolphins.
Flipper's a bit over it. Well, we've had 18 births today. And the water is murky. She shit herself. I'm over this.
I'm not hanging around this popsicle stand. I'm out of here. All the mates swim off into the sunset. Oh, my goodness. Actually, true. No one asked the bloody dolphins, did they?
No one's asked the dolphins.
Poor dolphins.
Yeah, they've just lured them in with some fish and then said, right, there's this naked pregnant lady. Where's the husband while this is happening?
Who knows? Probably run for the hills.
Or he's to the side in a life jacket bobbing up and down.
Yeah, how far out are they going? Are they taking a boat and just dropped in the ocean? Or is this like walking from the beach or, you know, we need to set this up.
No.
Anyway, so that I like that one. I'd probably go with that one out of all of them. Actually, no, this is my favourite, an orgasmic or ecstatic birth.
Oh.
Apparently 0.3% of women who give birth orgasm whilst they're giving birth.
Okay.
So it's quite enjoyable and it's meant to help with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing. You would have like 20 kids.
Because I think you need something else you need to think about during that time. It's like, oh, there's no time to think about whether you're having an orgasm or not.
No, but maybe some women it just triggers something, right? But I think that whole idea of it is not explored and there's a lot of stigma.
Oh, it happens? They're not doing it themselves.
No, it's like a, yeah. But the stigma associated with is you shouldn't be having any sexual feelings whilst giving birth to a child.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think it's all part and parcel of the weird and wonderful thing that is our bodies.
And
you know,
things are a bit bloody weird sometimes.
You know, some men, probably not my husband, but there's some men that want to feel the sympathy pains
certainly
of the
not
woman.
Dan.
No, I can't imagine many. But there are some that really want to embrace it and be part of it and experience it. And
can I say something?
Yeah.
It's not your job to then try and emulate that level of pain so that you can sit on the couch after and go, well, I know because I pushed a button and I felt it too, okay? Yeah. So you're not all on your own there, heroic
yeah,
love.
Yeah, okay. It's probably why they're doing it. So they've, you know, they've got a reason to justify everything later. So Kuvade syndrome is actually men who have sympathy pains for their wives. They actually have the abdominal pains, like contractions. Yeah. So there's old Sam sitting on the couch and suddenly his wife goes into labour and he's there going,
like phantom pains.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And some actually do it on purpose and put electrodes. You can put electrodes on there and they to try and simulate contractions just to.
Why would you do that? I would absolutely
send
Dan packing if he pulled a stunt like that in the delivery room. I'd be like, you are helping no one.
That is exactly right.
Dial a doula.
Yeah.
Get out.
Dial a. I love it. Dial a doula. Love it. What are you right now? Country Shaz. Shazza Shaz.
Shazza Shaz. That is the weirdest thing. I'm sorry. Women go through enough regardless of how they give birth. The fact that they've given birth is a major thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't need you adding to that and taking away from what we're doing. Okay?
No. Just it's a solo just, mission.
It's a solo.
And we're happy to take that on. We're the pilot. We may not know where we're going or what's going to happen at the end of the journey.
Yeah.
But we don't need the co-pilot. We need the co-pilot being the co-pilot.
Yeah, yeah. To run the errands, to say the helpful hints, to massage, to keep a calm face, but an encouraging face, and just be there when you are needed.
And literally lend a hand that you can squish and dig your nails into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And cop some abuse. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
A couple of celebrities I've got here that do some funny things. Now, there's a lot that do many daft things, but two of these stood out to me. Gisele Bündchen.
Yes.
The supermodel.
Yeah.
It was reported that she avoided using diapers altogether from birth, right?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So what she would do is communicate and hold her son over the toilet after breastfeeding. The outspoken supermodel and entrepreneur created more controversy, voicing that breastfeeding should be mandatory.
Oh, okay.
Although you're not helpful.
There's two parts to that, I think. Because I've known some people who did the whole toilet training from birth, like holding over a bucket and stuff. I think it works, but I don't know if – I think there's an issue with babies can't actually control those muscles yet to hold in the poo.
It needs to be the fact that the brain's communicating with the bladder.
Yeah, they haven't learned to quite do all that yet.
It goes through.
Mm.
So – you know, once they get that those two things see, and that's why so many kids toilet train at different levels and different ages because some do it really early and some are a little bit later because that messaging hasn't connected up yet.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So you don't want to give them any anxiety.
Calm down, Gisele.
But mandatory breastfeeding. But this makes no sense. Not everyone can breastfeed. Oh, come on.
Oh, come on,
Where's she living in a little bubble of breastfeeding? Gisele, just keep your boobies to yourself, would you?
And one more from Hilary Duff.
Oh, Hilary Duff up the Duff.
Hilary Duff is up the Duff. And she is a bit Duff because she kept the stump from the umbilical cord.
Yeah, but my mum did that and I saw it years later. It was quite normal.
Do you look at it and
oh no.
Go.
I'm wondering if mum chucked that out.
Yeah. Actually, now
imagine she discovers it years ago and goes, ugh, what's that rank?
Actually, I think, did I keep it? I reckon I questioned, should I keep it? And I was like, that's actually makes me feel sick. What am I going to do with it?
It's got to go in the bin.
Yeah, so I put it in the bin. But I think it's quite a tradition that people keep it, lady.
I kept the hair from their first haircut.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's not weird either. A weird box of hair in your house. It's just as bad as the placenta. Stick it with the teeth, the placenta and the hair. Ugh, it's like a crime scene. Jeez. Or just keeping their DNA for future.
Did you keep your kids' teeth?
I have kept a couple, but now I'm thinking I don't need to keep keeping them, surely. But I'm scared to put them in the rubbish bin. Because what if someone finds them and then tries to clone my child out of the tooth that they've found?
Well, is smash that possible? It up, then.
Okay, like grind it. Okay, now that's
put
weird.
It in your coffee machine. Grind them up.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. That's absolutely
with the placenta. Just, make a beautiful coffee.
Well, you know what? You can just go outside, dig a little hole, and put them in there.
Bury it. That's cute. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Hmm.
Mm.
There's some random, wacky, absolutely absurd things that went on for young mothers back in the day. Some things that we'd hear now and go, are you actually serious? So one of them was breastfeeding mothers were given a stern warning in the 1916s. Don't feed your baby when you're angry or else you'll give it colic.
Colic? You maybe give it a bit of stress, but not colic, surely.
But that's not fair. Like the baby's fine. It's having a little, it's having a meal.
They're having a suckle.
Just if you want to have an angry phone call with your husband, that's fine.
Who's coming up with this?
Are they doctors? This is what's fearful.
Yes, of course.
Okay, 1940s, back away from the radio, ladies, because if you're listening to music too loud, you could get simply excited. So pregnant women were asked to avoid
excitement.
Mm-hmm. Anything loud. Don't get excited.
Can you imagine that woman in 1875 having an orgasmic birth? Banned. She'd be going, what is going on? Yeah, because they wanted you to be calm and relaxed. And
yeah, but far
would bring
out.
Bring on the labour too early.
Sometimes
and
you want to listen to your own tunes and carry
you were,
on.
You
from
were
there.
Treated like an invalid, I think, back in those days, weren't you? Like
you were. And you were treated rest. Dumb.
Yeah, so you were treated like you were sick, like you were this feeble
yes.
woman who couldn't do anything. All your yes. job was to do was to look after yourself and then have a baby.
And anything you did say wasn't taken seriously or that you were just making things up or you were daft, in fact. So in the 1950s, advice for new mothers, if you were reported feeling sad, postnatal depression, anything like that, they were told to strip furniture to cheer them up.
Where did they get the connection between stripping furniture?
This is what I mean. This is advice from doctors.
What about
you're
knitting?
Weird, mate.
What about, come on, at least go with the times. Knitting or crochet or embroidered, you know, a blanket of your choice. Again,
something.
Prince Charles is coming in to give advice.
not helpful, let's say.
Not helpful.
And how about just talk to this mother? Does anyone want to talk to her and find out how she's feeling and why she's feeling?
No, they don't
like
want to know.
They don't want to know. No. Close the door.
Yeah, give her options and just one.
And how's this? 1960s. So a lot of our parents were born around this time. Prepare your eyebrows to raise sharply as Dr. Walter Sackett Dr. Walter Sackett recommended
more
giving
like suck it anyway. Suck it, Dr. Sackett. Go ahead.
Recommended giving black coffee to babies at 6 months of age because you want them up any longer, don't you? Like seriously.
What was the reasoning behind it? Does it
said
it say?
This was the same guy that also recommended for their health, serving bacon and eggs to babies starting at 6 weeks
bacon
old.
Bacon and eggs. Nice greasy breakfast because they had a
wash
big night the night before.
Hair of the dog.
Wash it
down with some black coffee.
Black
and
coffee,
in those days
ristretto.
It would have been like just disgusting. No beautiful beans like we have now.
Maybe they did that in Italy. You know, with the coffee.
Actually,
it was so good.
Speaking of that, so this is moving to modern times, right? In Italy now, they do give their children, okay, probably not babies, but they do give their young children vino at dinner.
Like red wine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At dinner.
Yeah, because the French do it at breakfast, so why not? It's a European
thing,
right?
Just say my grandparents, they're not Italian, but my grandparents were European. They've passed away now. And he would always give me booze. By the table, come here.
What
come
kind?
Here,
anything?
Red wine. Some of the and any Europeans will understand what this is called. Grappa. It's like basically home brewed, the strongest stuff. You could run your car on this stuff.
Oh, like a schnapps. Jesus,
more than a schnapps.
Oh wow,
like it's a bit yuck. But anyway, he'd have that with some Diet Coke and go, come here, little sip. like this. Little sip of this stuff.
That explains you, lady, in so many ways. Chanel's frontal lobe's not quite, formed quite yet. Still working on it.
Look at you. Thanks.
Look
for
at me.
The
I'm
shame.
Judging you yeah, so bad. Totally. No, I know. No, that's quite normal. And I think in the 80s as well, my uncle would was so Aussie, give me a beer. Not give me a beer.
That explained
a sip of
you
beer.
Then.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to fight at, lady. I'm trying to be bigger than the beer. But a little bit of like a shandy, a little bit of a shandy,
you know.
Or a little – actually, I remember going to my auntie's wedding back in the 80s. I was a flower girl, a very good one, did a good job that day. I must have been about 7. And at the reception, I ran around all the different tables and drank the little dregs that was left in people's
you
wine glasses.
You would have been absolutely bollocks.
I was under the table asleep. They're like, where's Tamara? She was hiccuping and pissed under the table at a wedding in a beautiful white flower girl outfit.
Can I just point something out? That while that's funny and terribly bad that you had to, that you
I
were
know,
doing
it was
that.
The supervision.
But someone's dregs like spit.
Disgusting, Tamara. Oh. Wouldn't happen in a COVID world today.
I'm
would it?
Thankful for that.
Yeah. Gross. Where were my parents? I remember doing it and stealing all those mint sticks.
This
in
goes
the
back to when we were saying about holidaying with kids when our parents used to say, you should just sleep under the table. You were great. You'd sleep anywhere.
Yeah. What are our kids doing now?
Maybe
though?
They
we don't
maybe
know.
They were sleeping under the table because they were drunk, the kids.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that was the best place to go if you wanted to have any contraband was just to eat that. Like my sister once got drunk on my Nana's Christmas cake because she put loads of brandy in it. She did the same thing. She's under – where's Natalie? Oh, she's under the table. She was like 2. She's sitting there laughing, giggling to herself with a mouthful of like fruitcake.
Oh,
that really heavy fruitcake.
Yeah.
That no one likes apart from 2-year-olds who are drunk under the table.
Exactly. Oh, my
God. I'll drink you under the table.
So back to what they do overseas. So Chinese babies are taught to relieve themselves on the toilet on command of the parent whistling so that the parent would hold a whistle in their mouth and go toot and then they would have to go on the command of a whistle.
So does they have it? Do they do that every hour, on the hour? So even
I have
if they
no idea. So basically it's starting when they're a few months old. I don't know how that works because how they're sitting up at a few months old, they're like donk, fall off the potty.
Yeah.
And then it says, according to the Washington Post, most are fully trained by age 2 on command of a toot whistle. Okay.
Oh.
No shade, but a bit of shade when they're little.
So
far
when,
out.
But then when you're an adult, I feel like that's not a great idea because your alarm goes off at 7 and then you wet the bed.
Or you're just having flashbacks. You're like, I'm not going until I hear my mum whistle.
Yeah, what do you do? You're going to have to set your own whistle in your own adult life to make sure you pee at the right spot.
So you walk into a public toilet and all you hear is these whistles going off. Boop, boop, boop.
Probably in China, maybe.
Because they're all tooting their own whistle because they've learned to blow their whistle first.
Right, they have to toot their own whistle to go, otherwise they can't. Yes, they'd have to walk around with a whistle. True. Or what if you're standing at the traffic lights and
someone whistles and goes, don't, it's going to run down my leg.
I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the traffic lights when the little man, it goes beep, 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 beep. You everyone know, just pee yourself it. Crossing the road. There'd be triggers all over the place.
Oh, that is so funny.
I don't think they thought about that before they started it.
This is one weird thing that I actually think's great. I don't know about the second part of it. It feels a bit weird in the Western world to do that. But as far as this is concerned, in many parts of Africa, the responsibility of raising the child lies with the entire extended family. Everyone's pitching in. Imagine
good.
That. Babysitters everywhere. Mum has a chance to recover.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their bit.
That's it.
None of this isolation like we go through.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their bit.
I think they do that in India as well. It's very
right.
It's community. It's a community.
Well, they all help each other.
Yeah, it's a commune of people helping out.
And the next bit, it isn't unusual for mothers to share breast milk with other people's children in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Kenya.
Like wet nursing.
They're wet nursing. They're all doing it.
Oh, but they're all doing it. Their own babies and whichever baby wants to be
fed. Yeah, so basically
fed.
If my sister was having a nap and her baby needed to be fed, I kept the milk supply up so I would then breastfeed her baby.
You know, though, I remember my friend telling me her mum did that for her cousin or something.
Yeah,
they were breastfeeding at the same time, and that would have been in the 50s or something like that. So 60s. So maybe.
For me, in all honesty, I get that protective nature where I'm like, it's my baby. I'm the only one breastfeeding her. She's mine.
Right. And you're worried that you would be worried the scent would be carried on someone
but
else.
It's just, that's my baby. I'm doing it or whatever. Like, you know, it's a bit different if I express milk or use formula or whatever and someone gave her a bottle. That's not too bad at all. But when it's from you, and your breast and someone else is doing it, I would be a bit like territorial.
I don't, but you probably, because you've not grown up in it. So exactly. If you had, you would, you know, if you had to do it tomorrow, well, you know, that'd be weird.
How does granny get the milk going after that long?
I don't think granny's part of the milk circle. Oh. Granny's, no,
granny
they're
might
all
throw it out there
out.
Like a dummy. I don't know.
No.
granny. It might happen. True. But yes, no shade, but we're just so not used to that.
No, we're not, not at all. But, I mean, I reckon they're getting some sleep.
Which is a really great thing. They're being fed. Everyone's talking, yes, helping.
Exactly.
There's so much love. Anyway, I think that's great.
Do you, Chanel? Good on you. I think that's great. Why don't you tell people they're disgusting for thinking things when no one's saying it's disgusting?
So we've talked about some of the most weird that we've kind of discovered, but how about some of the weird things we do that we all do? Like, you know, you haven't got your baby with you. Another baby is crying. You're in the shopping line. You're swaying. Like you absolutely had way too much wine.
Used to it. Yeah.
And people are looking at you and you're swaying and staring and not blinking and they're thinking, what is wrong with that woman? But it's just – I've done that so many times, or I've jiggled. I've started to jiggle.
It's like having your sea legs, but it's your baby legs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's things like that.
I did that once with a fake baby in one of those ergo carriers. I had a fake baby because I was doing a commercial, TV commercial, and I had to be a mum. So they put a fake baby. And I'm standing there waiting to go on, and I'm doing that jiggle thing and patting a fake baby. And I wasn't even – I didn't notice.
See?
And someone said, what are you doing? You can tell that you're a mum. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, you don't realise.
No, it happens.
What about when you refer to your partner as mummy or daddy now, not when the children are present? When you go, dad,
in the bedroom.
Down the hallway. Daddy. No, when you refer to them when you're just talking to them, not saying to, let's say if I said to Ollie, go give that to your dad or go see daddy, that's fine. But what if I call Dan daddy?
And the kids aren't around.
Yeah. Dad, daddy, what are you doing? Would you like a coffee, daddy?
Sick. That's what sometimes I've just been talking to my mum and I'll go, mum, and call Kai mum. Or I've called my dad honey and so many weird things, like gross.
Honey. No, dad. I will call you father from now on.
Father.
Father. What about the weird voice that we suddenly start using sometimes when we're talking to the kids, other people's kids, whatever? Hello. Oh, aren't you a little?
That is oh my God, your face. If you could see Chanel's face, it actually is scary. That scared me.
Well, yes. Exactly. It's weird.
Do you do it?
I hammed that up a bit.
You did.
But when we don't realise the babiness we do, like in somewhere, hello, some baby's face. Like that's weird.
Yeah.
The baby's probably laughing, going, you're an absolute twit.
But it's hard. I think it's a default method, isn't it? You go up to the kid and you can't go, hey, how you doing, Brian? Yeah, good. Yeah, but how's your day?
Who's
just
named that kid
pants
Brian
today?
Okay,
somebody out there. We can only hope. You know, what do you do? Like, oh, the weather's good, isn't it? Hey, new toy. Love it. Like, I feel like they're not going to – we feel like we have to be big.
I think so you can ham it up, but then sometimes it doesn't need to be too much. You can kind of go, hello, little one. Excitable, not whoa.
It's a bit too crazy person.
Excitable, not crazy.
Or when there's older people who do
you're
that.
You're not a raving lunatic.
No. You know, but when people do that and they don't realise that the kid's probably like 9 and they still do that. And hello.
Come to mummy.
Wow.
And one
wow,
more
Chanel, got. I can't even handle it.
I do this often actually and it is weird and I know it's weird and
eat
I still
placenta.
Do it. No, yeah. no. that's in the dustbin. No, I tell stationary objects off when they hurt Ollie. So if he's clearly walked into something.
Yeah, like a
and
chair.
And he's crying and he said to me, Mummy, tell it off, tell it off, because he's a little Greek Ollie.
Oh, cute.
I literally will tell something off. So I'll stare at the wall and go, don't you do that to my Ollie. That was naughty. Naughty. Say sorry, wall.
Naughty, naughty wall. And then what does the wall say?
Nothing.
He's like, gee, this furniture is really offensive, Mum. Doesn't even apologise.
I've told the door off, told the door frame, corner of the couch.
She's going to be petrified of your house.
This house. But you know what? I'm laughing as well because my mum's done it.
Oh, so I reckon that's I've where got it came from.
So my mum's come in and gone, I'm going to tell that naughty wall off, Ollie.
Yeah, my mum would
She's
do it with
up
a chair.
And shouted at the wall.
Yes.
That naughty chair, that naughty wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The chair's like. Just sat there.
Must have been an 80s thing. Maybe it's to make you laugh because I reckon Mum would do it and it was like she's yelling at the chair and I'd be
but
like.
But Ollie's really serious. He stands there and wants me to reprimand that chair or that thing.
He's waiting for the apology. He's just, you're wondering why he's staring at the wall for 3 hours. What are you doing?
I'm waiting for the apology, Mum. You know what I should have done the other day? Thomas, a bit of a heavier toy, not a plush.
Ollie, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Ollie,
okay.
Ollie, no shoes on, stood on it, no shoes. He's crying, oh, I stepped on Thomas, like that.
Thomas.
I should have put Thomas in timeout, shouldn't I?
Should have. Did you?
No.
What happened?
I missed the opportunity. I will do it again because you know what? I guarantee my children will continue to leave their things all over the floor.
He'd be there all
day.
I'm
going to place them in timeout. I'm going to put Thomas in the corner, leave him there and set the timer for how old is he? Probably 20 years old. It's an old toy. You can sit there for 20 minutes.
Okay. Oh, it's based on how
one
many,
minute per
how old they are.
Yeah, according to Super Nanny Joe Frost.
Right. So you put the amount of, and as they get older.
Yeah, that's time out.
That explains why I've been in the corner for 40 minutes.
41.
Kai puts me in the 40. Okay, don't add the minute. Kai often puts me in the corner. Nobody puts Tamara in the corner.
No, they don't.
But sometimes they do.
No. And I pop weird. Up at the window and then like shimmy you through. Come on, like get out. Let's run off. Thelma and Louise style. Bye.
What? But why is Kai putting me in the corner? Daddy. It's because they call him Daddy.
Look, let's just say it's all too weird sometimes. And if you've got any really brilliant weird things that either you do, you've read, someone's told you, please send it in motherhoodabeautifulnightmare@gmail.com or flick us a message on Facebook or Instagram because we will reshare these. I love it.
And it's all great. It's all, we don't judge anyone. We're just, I mean, we might a little bit, but that's fine. You know, each to their own. You do it. We all probably do weird things, let's face it. And, you know, it's part of the brilliant rich fabric that is our world that we live in. So whether you eat a placenta
or lick your baby after birth,
it's all good in the hood.
The Beautiful Nightmare is produced by Frankie Media and hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linke.
Want to know more about us?
Get in touch at thebeautifulnightmare.com or jump on our socials.
Wow, you can really make a podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.